Hello again, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. We've been talking for this last few weeks, talking about grace. Grace! What a wonderful, wonderful word. What a wonderful, wonderful subject. I have a great friend called Keith Lamb, and he says it's like this. He says, God's problem with us, are you listening? God's problem with us is not our sin. It's our righteousness. Yeah. Now listen, without realizing it, we often look for something to recommend us to God other than Christ alone. And much modern preaching would help us do just that. I once watched a well-known speaker, Christian speaker, preacher, on Christian TV, and he urged the faithful to be financially generous with God. Well, had he left it there, it would have been fine. I'd have said, great, yeah, we should, yeah. But this preacher then challenged his congregation, his listeners, to say, now, don't you want to see the favor of God on your life? Then plant a financial seed and you'll release the favor of the Almighty in all that you do. What's wrong with that, you say? Well, in other words, do something and you'll get favor. That's legalism. Hello, legalism. It's wrong, entirely wrong. Now look, of course it's right to give to the work of the Lord and give generously to the work of the Lord, to the spread of the gospel. And yes, it's a blessing to give. But favor is another word for grace. They are one and the same. And grace believers believe, therefore, that there is nothing we can do, and that includes giving, nothing we can do that can earn God's favor. We give because we already have God's favor. Not to get God's favor, but we give because we have it. We got it at Calvary. We got it through the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. He gave everything and rescued and ransomed us. And so listen, if we can do something to earn grace, the gospel is demolished. Grace is replaced with works, and the believer has something to boast about other than the cross. So let's say it again. God's problem with us is not our sin, it's our righteousness. We're always trying to establish our own righteousness. Oh, look, I read my Bible today, Lord. Oh, I prayed today. Oh, I witnessed today. I'm not saying we're saying that out loud, but we think these things. Always trying to establish our own righteousness. Well, we get so easily caught up in the sin of trying to establish a basis of acceptance before God other than Christ alone. We refuse to rely entirely on the finished work for our justification before God. And this is another reason why we need to be continually confronted by the good news of grace. Yeah, you know what the gospel will do? It will dismantle and strip away everything other than Christ alone. I'm going to quote Keith Lamb again. He says, by the way, this guy's from Kerrville, Texas. And if you ever heard him live, he speaks like a bullet. But his material's amazing. The problem God has with us is not our sin. We want to rid ourselves of sin. It's our righteousness that gets in the way. As long as I can recommend myself to God in any area, I'm unacceptable for the purposes of God. But when I finally decide to agree with God and confess that no good thing is in me, then I'm in the position for God to do something for me and through me. That was a quotation from The Lord's Freeman. That's a book by Keith Lamb, The Lord's Freeman. Self-righteousness comes easily for many of us. Now listen, I'll say it again. Self-righteousness comes easily for many of us. And if we do not continually apply the gospel to our thinking, we can effortlessly fall into the trap. and be found to be a Pharisee. A closet Pharisee, perhaps, but a Pharisee nonetheless. And it's a matter of interest to discover that according to the online Jewish Encyclopedia and other sources, there were a number of categories amongst the ancient Pharisee, different types of Pharisees. And when we examine them, we discover that self-righteous Phariseeism is still alive and well and kicking and living in our churches. But this modern day Phariseeism has learned how to cover its tracks. In fact, Phariseeical self-righteousness can be so insidious that we might actually be involved with one or more of its forms without even knowing. So let's look at some of the distinct types of Phariseeism and pray that the Lord will help us, he'll know more than that, deliver us from their snare. The first one we discover is a peculiar gentleman. He was called the Shechem Pharisee. Now, this was a gentleman who was meticulous in all his observance of the law, not because it was in his heart to honor God, but rather because he hoped that others would see just how good he was. And what about us? We look good. Yeah, we're involved with the church. But our hearts can be far from the Lord, often so. Furthermore, the Shechem Pharisee wanted to look good because he wanted to get something out of being perceived as the good guy. He's the very opposite of a grace guy. The Shechem Pharisee takes his name from events that transpired in Genesis 34. Shechem, the Hittite prince, became circumcised not because he wanted to worship the one true God, but rather because in becoming circumcised, he thought he could get Dinah. Do you remember her? Remember the story? Dinah, Jacob's daughter. He wanted her as his wife, and so he gets circumcised. He's still around today, by the way. Oh, I've met him in some of the business people who get involved with churches. And they get involved with churches. Why? To meet people. Oh, you say, that's nice. No. Meet people who will financially profit them. I've seen them in so many of the business people. These people talk a great talk, but they say all the right words, yeah, but life is all about them and their advancement, and it's not about the Lord Jesus. Gosh, try and put in an evening or two of fellowship with people like that. All they want to do is talk about themselves. They don't want to talk about Jesus. Yeah, life's all about them and their advancement. It's not about Jesus. God's love and grace do not rule his life. But how about your life? How about my life? Is it about Jesus? Or are we pretending to be his followers because we're going to get some advantage out of it? Yeah, you know, motives are very, very important. Some years ago, a young boy crawled out over the frozen lake and pulled his friend who's fallen through the ice. He pulled him to safety. He became an instant hero. And when being interviewed by the press, he was asked, "Were you not scared?" "Oh, yes," he says, "I was scared. But I couldn't let him drown, for he was wearing my new skates." Yeah, just like the Shechem Pharisee, the kid's motives were all selfish. But what about us? Why are we involved in church? Is it because God has been rich in mercy towards us, or is it that we have our own agenda? We need to allow the Holy Spirit to keep our motives in check. And in saying that, we must also face the fact that the only one who ever lived, who had entirely pure motives, dedicated to the glory of God alone, was the precious Lord Jesus Christ. Gotta move on here. The next Pharisee that we encounter, or we would have encountered if we'd been back then, was this guy was called the wait a little Pharisee. Now, he was the one who could always produce an entirely good reason for putting off doing a good deed. Yeah, that's true. Now, in today's church, these are the ones who always have a good reason as to why we don't, for example, spend more money on evangelism and missions. Oh, this guy is a hearer of the word, but he's not a doer of the word. Rather than being honest about his condition, he again hides behind a veneer of righteous words and can pose as a master of sensible caution and prudence. Have you met him yet? Yeah, I've met him. Yeah, I've sat in elders' meetings with him. Yeah, he's been one of the leaders. Oh, he's always so sensible. It's why we can't spend more on evangelism and missions. Yeah, this man may be in leadership. He may have a large voice in a small committee, but mark it down. He's always the one to tell us why things can't be done. And on top of that, he's developed a knack of sounding pious and holy while doing so. He mistakenly thinks that his caution has made him more righteous than the rest of us. And he views God as being one as restrained and guarded as himself. His boast is this. He boasts in his restraint. He's not boasting in the glory of God. This guy is the opposite of a grace guy. I'm so thankful Jesus was not like that. He came in his Father's name to fulfill the Father's purpose. He was positive about doing the will of God in his life. I have come, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundant. I've come to give my life a ransom for many. Do you hear how positive he was? Yeah, totally positive. Nothing negative about him. So the next Pharisee I want to draw to your attention, this guy, this is amazing. He was called the Bleeding Pharisee. He was a very interesting specimen. He was also known as the Self-Inflicting Pharisee. Now, let me stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. In Bible times, women had a very low status, and no Pharisee, for example, could talk to his wife or sister in public. Yeah, that's true. A Pharisee couldn't talk to his wife in public or his sister in public. But the Bleeding Pharisee wouldn't even so much as look at a woman on the street. He wouldn't even look at her. And wait for it. To avoid looking at women, he walked around with his eyes closed and thus kept walking into walls and sides of buildings. And he bruised and wounded himself needlessly. He was thus given the name the Bleeding Pharisee. Look, the truth is some people take things too far. And here's the great truth. There is a great truth about separation from the world. But some people take it too extreme. Some pastors, for example, won't allow women to wear makeup or fashionable clothes. They seem to insist that the women folk should buy their outfits at frumpyclothes.com. No, the problem with this is that these and other standards are imposed as the proof of righteousness. How long you keep your hair? Women, that is. Yeah, you can't cut your hair in some groups. But they say, okay, if they have these wee rules and regulations, but they think by fulfilling these rules and regulations, they get righteousness before God. Ah, that's so anti-gospel. It's so anti-gospel. And so these churches never express things precisely like this, but in effect, that's what's being said. There seems to be no room for grace. In churches like these, there's therefore no need for the gospel, no need for the blood, no need for Christ's righteousness, no need for grace. But of course there's only room for Christ's righteousness in the true gospel church, in the blood and all these wonderful truths. What about you? Do you love these gospel truths? Well, these Pharisees, after all, in their mind, keeping up certain standards provides all the righteousness they need. And invariably, the leading Pharisee walks around with a sour expression. Can you blame him? And he's got a judgmental attitude. Not the type of fella you'd want to have at your dinner party. And I'll finish today with this. There's more. But there was the martyr or humble Pharisee. This fellow was so humble and so pious that he wouldn't so much as lift his feet when he walked. He was a shuffler. Yes, these gentlemen still attend their meetings today, and they act as if they are such self-effacing brothers and sisters. They are so sweet that they give you diabetes. They're always talking in terms of the purity of heart. Oh, brother, I see such a pure heart in you. Praise the Lord for you, brother. People who keep talking about me having a pure heart, give me the creeps. It's not real. Christ alone was the only one who had a pure heart. And yes, I want to have a pure heart. But I'm looking to Jesus as my perfect righteousness. Not looking in any way to myself, nor should you. Jesus did say that the pure in heart were blessed, but looking to our heart and reckoning us as pure is a self-righteousness which flies in the face of the gospel. And at the back of it, the humble Pharisee wants us to be impressed with him. Yeah, and to believe that he's a wonderful brother, rather than settling down and setting down to show that Jesus is wonderful. He would rob God of his glory and point people to himself. Look at me, look at my pure heart. He wouldn't say that, but he's everything is look at me. The gospel, however, will deliver us from this kind of thinking. The gospel will show us that we were ruined. That's why Jesus came, because we were ruined. Hallelujah, what a savior he came. Ruined sinners to reclaim. Have you seen yourself as a ruined sinner? If you have, then Jesus will save. Trust him. Ask him to save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. We are living in grace. Yep, and that's the gospel truth. Thank you so much for being with us today on the podcast. And if spiritually I can answer any questions, write to me, miles@milesmckee.com. That's Miles, M-I-L-E-S, at milesmckee.com. May the Lord's face be shining upon you. It will be. It is. Believe it in Jesus' name.